So before Pesach, I got to hear Rabbi Katzenstein speak about a number of key issues. I think he focused on primarily on two or three issues in Simanim, Reish Samach Gimel and Reish Samach Dalet. He had focused a lot on the different definitions of Choli in the context of Mila, Yarok and Choloko Gufo, different practical issues. He spoke about his, he learned about bilirubin. And he spoke about Umnus HaMila, specifically Milu Priya Bevas Achas, and about the definitions of Atara. Was looking back, he had touched on a number of other issues too. He spoke about the Zmanim issue, in terms of after Shkia, about Yotzei Dofen and Mamzer, IVF, made a point about the Sandik, and he had closed with the importance of keeping good records. So what I do now is take a look at a number of the critical issues in the final two simanim of the Hilchos Mila, Siman Reish Samach Hei and Reish Samach Vav. Reish Samach Hei is officially, the title says about the Birkas Hamila. At the beginning of the simanim is about the Birkas Hamila, and the end of the simanim is about other issues in the Seder Hamila. The Reish Samach Vav is about the dinim of Mila Bin Docha Shabbos. Now the truth is we covered a number of issues in Reish Samach Vav early in earlier Chaburas. The general issue of Dechiyah of Shabbos, and particularly Tzitzin HaMa'akvin, Tzitzin She'en Ma'akvin, so that had come up earlier, and the issues of Bein HaShmashos in Sifches, so that also come up earlier. We're learning Reish Samach Beis and Reish Samach Dalet, but let's take a look. Let's take a look at it. Plenty else to discuss. So Reish Samach opens with the Gemara, the final Gemara in the parak, the final Gemara in Blas Demila, the various brachas that we say. It's striking. Gemara speaks about the mol. The mohel says al hamila. Avia ben says lahachnisa revisor shavam avino, and then hamavarech, whoever that is, the one who says the bracha, someone. Says the third bracha, Shakirishi did me better. And the Lahachniso is a big discussion. We've shown him when you're supposed to say Lahachniso, whether the father is supposed to say it before the Mila or after the Mila. It appears to be a machlokus over the nature of the bracha, whether it's a Birkas HaMitzvah or not. If it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, that's the Sugya in Pesachim Dav Zayin. They want to overlap siyasa, and if it's a birka shevach v'hoda, if it's a response to the spiritual majesty of bris milah and of the kedushas yisrael that it communicates, then it's going to be if the birka shevach v'hoda, then bracha is going to come afterwards. So that's why Shulchan Aruch quotes the pshar that Rishonim have that you say it in between the Mila and the Priya, and that way it's both before and after. A little bit akin to what some Rishonim develop and what most Ashkenazim follow in terms of Netil Sedayim. You want to have Netil Sedayim after the Netil, you also want to have Rov Las Yasan, so you'll have the common Ashkenazi approach is to say that all Netil Sedayim after the Netil, but before the Niguv, so that way you can have it both ways. So that's what we try to do here as well. So we try to have it both. That's the Pshar that's quoted in. And the Chaver quotes from Rishonim. Now, just to understand a little bit more about this question about the bracha v'lachniso, it's rooted in one or two more basic questions, which is it's striking that it's incredibly rare to have three brachas on a single event. It's rare to have two brachas on a single event. That you find sometimes. Birkas HaTorah, according to most, is two brachas. To have three brachas in a single event is incredibly rare. Now, you do have Shavuot brachas. There are sometimes other sets of many brachas. You have Shmoneh Esrei. But what's even more striking than the fact that you have three brachas on one event, what's really unique is that you have two brachas, two Asher Kedishon sorts of Tzivanu brachas on a single event. That is really unique. And the Birkas HaTorah, the first bracha is Asher Kishon Vosu Bizvano, and the second one is not. The second one, I presume, is a broader Birkas Shevach. But here you have the Asher Kishon Vosu Bizvano Al HaMila, or Lamul, and then you have Asher Kishon Vosu Bizvano, Lachnisa Bavitra Javinu. Heichan Matsinu to have two brachas. So that's part of what's driving this question, to try to understand. What had been open to Shah case? Of course, Lachnis is a Birkas HaMitzvah. Asher Kri Shalom Svotzev Tzivano. The problem is that on the other hand, there is counter evidence. Part of the counter evidence is the fact that he already said a bracha ala mila. So this doesn't seem like it's a Birkas HaMitzvah. And Bechlal, the fact that the bracha, generally Birkas HaMitzvah, name the mitzvah. We're learning Hilchos Tefilas Kelim, so the Shach has a discussion about what exactly Nusach HaBracha should be. Is it Al Tefilas Kelim? Should be Al Tefilas Kelim Matches? How much detail do you have? And the post can point out, John, you name the mitzvah. Al Hamila, or Lamul, is a very classic Birkas HaMitzvah. Lachnis Risha Ram Avinu, very beautiful and flowery, doesn't sound like a Birkas HaMitzvah. And that's a issue that does not only come up here. I'm sure you're aware that when the Gemara in the first parak of Ksubas around Daf Zayin talks about the bracha of Erusin, the Shav bracha is a bracha of Nisuin, but the bracha of Erusin, what under Archup is usually the Masada Kedushin recites, so it does begin Asher Yisholim B'Sosa V'Tivano, but it's V'Tivano Al Harayos, also Laron Sarusos. It doesn't name the mitzvah of Kedushin, it talks about Isurim, and it generally seems more flowery. So that led, so the Rambam is of the opinion that it is a Birkas HaMitzvah, but the Rush mentions that as one of his arguments, so it's not a Birkas HaMitzvah. There, it's rooted, now there, the Machlokas, Rush and Rambam, whether Birkas Erusin is a Birkas HaMitzvah or not, is rooted ultimately in Machlokas, whether getting married is per se a mitzvah. Clearly getting married is highly recommended, and leads to many halachic desert data, but whether it itself is marriage is in and of itself a ma'aseh mitzvah, so that's the machlokas, Rambam, and Rosh. So there we understand. The Rambam says that getting married is in and of itself a mitzvah, independent of proof, independent of anything else. So he says, and here's the Birkas HaMitzvah. The Birkas HaMitzvah is the Birkas Erusin. The Rosh says, there is no mitzvah. Getting married is not in and of itself a mitzvah, and this bracha is a Birkas Shevach, despite the fact that you're saying, Asher Kri Shalom Sosa V'Tzivan. I believe Rosh talks about Shechita as well. Maybe the bracha shchita also shchita might not be a mitzvah per se. And you're saying so. The Rosh says you do sometimes find the birkas shavah v'hodah with the asher kri shalom sosa v'tzivano terminology. So you could make that argument here as well. On the other hand, here there is a mitzvah. No one disputes the fact that mila is a mitzvah. But here it's a different issue. We already have a birkas hamitzvah. So the Beis Yosef quotes a couple of approaches. What indeed is the substance of Lahachniso, the second bracha that wasn't already covered by the first bracha? And so the Beis Yosef mentions a couple of different approaches. I would highlight in particular, for many years I've been very taken by one approach that he quotes in particular, B'Shem, he quotes from Abu Dram. It speaks also to the fact that the mohel makes the bracha al hamila, which is what you expect. Usually this is one of the examples. The Rav has a very beautiful and famous, Shechter put together marachav drawn from shiurim of the Rav over the years. He has four such kuntres in Eretz HaTzvi. The first one is Simon Gimel, kuntres birkas hamitzvos. He weaves together pieces from different shiurim of the Rav over the years into one coherent whole. One of the major issues in the Kuntres Birkas HaMitzvahs is that Birkas HaMitzvahs are centered around the Maisa Mitzvah. There are many nafkaminas, one of which is, if I ask you to do a mitzvah on my behalf, you say the bracha, not I, even though I have the key on a mitzvah. So it comes up sometimes if you ask someone to put up mezuzahs for you. So on moving day, you're very busy. Mezuzahs have to go up on moving day if you're buying the house, for sure. You can be too busy, ask someone to put the mezuzahs for you. So the koveas ha-mezuzahs makes the bracha, not the Baal HaBayis, even though koveas ha-mezuzah is not Mekayim mezuzah, he's Mekayim chesed. But obviously the Baal HaBayis is the Mekayim mezuzah, but since the koveas ha-mezuzah, the friend, is the one who's doing the maisa mitzvah, the bracha follows the maisa mitzvah. That appears to be what's going on here as well. The Gemara says beferish that the mole says the bracha al hamila, not the father. Ah, but the father is also saying the bracha. So how do you work this out? So what the Beis Yosef quotes, is that maybe the bracha al hamila, that's a bracha on the mitzvah of mila per se. Why do you have a second birkas hamitzvah? And why is that second birkas hamitzvah said by the father and not by the mohel? And the answer is because the second birkas hamitzvah is more broadly on mila as the beginning of the chiyuv. In the Mishnah and the first parak of Kiddushin talks about the chiyuv that the father has towards his child, beginning with lamulo levdoso, then to mechanach a child for years to teach him Torah, to make sure he'll be a productive, a self-sufficient human being, to make sure to get him set up in life, learning, work, marriage. And it all begins, that whole system of mitzvahs of chinuch begin with the mila. So that's the bracha of lachnis of bivishu shal avraham avinu. Not just mila as a mitzvah per se. That's the bracha al hamila. That's the mohel's bracha, unless the father is saying doing the mila himself. But lachniso is mila as mila b'torah, the beginning of all the chiyuv the father has towards his son, and that's reflected very well in the language. Lachniso bivishu shal avraham avinu. This is the beginning of the hachnasa levris, and that training is going to continue, Mirtz Hashem, for many years. So then we understand well with that approach, we understand well the opinion that it is a birkas hamitzvah. That it is a birkas hamitzvah, despite the fact that it was a birkas hamitzvah. Yeah, but by mila, two layers to it. It's akin, perhaps, the Rav has a similar approach to tefillin. And, according to Ashkenazim, it's Machlokas Rashi and Tosas, Machlokas Mechab Rama, about Birk Brachas and tefillin. So Ashkenazi practice is that we make two brachas on the Shal Rosh, meaning that the Lahaniach tefillin covers both the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh, and then we add on the Amitzis tefillin specifically for the Shal Rosh. And that's why we assume, Ashkenazim assume, that if you're a mafsik, if you start shmuzing between Shal Rosh, you have to repeat the Lahaniach plus the Al HaMitzvah Tefillin on the Shal Rosh. Shal Rosh also is a mitzvah that requires two brachas, like Mila, and there too there's sort of this added layer. There's the bare act of Hanachas Tefillin, and the Shal Rosh, even more than Shal Yad, is associated with the Rambam describes as becoming a person with a Me'utar B'Tefillin, who is a Niskadish through the Tefillin. So that's the second bracha. That's the second bracha. And with that, I think you also understand a comment of the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from Rekiv Eger. Because the Ramah and Sif Aleph has a discussion, what do you if there is no father? The discussion, who should say, should someone say Lachniso? The girl is not so sure. Who should say Lachniso? The Ramah assumes that the ideal is that the Tofes Hanar, the Sandak, should say Lachniso if the father is not there, or if the father is not able to say Racha. So the Pesachei Tshuva, Siv Katan Gimel, quotes Rabbi Akiva Eiger in a tshuva, who said that he thought that if the grandfather, specifically Avi Aviv, the paternal grandfather, he takes precedence over the Sandak in making the Bracha of Lachniso. So that fits very well with this approach, that the Bracha of Lachniso is on the overall system of Chinuch that begins with all these mitzvahs that begin with Mila, because that's what the Gemara says. The Chiyuv Chinuch does devolve on the... there is a Chiyuv Chinuch not only for one's children, but for Bnei Banav as well. So it makes sense, we understand well, why the Avi Aviv takes precedence over the Sadek. He's really the second in line to make the bracha of Lachniso. And then they end of the sif, they talk about a number of other issues. The discussion whether you say Kashem Shenichnas, Kashem Shehechnas, or different Gersos in the Gemara, we've shown him. The Shach and the Taz talk about it. The Shach points out, Shach has a long discussion about the Nusach of the Bracha of Asher Kiddush. He insists particularly you have to say Tzaveh and not Tzivah. Tzaveh l'hatil adiyus shayim mishachas. Mechaber quotes the Sephardi practice to make a bracha b'salma on a hadas, and the Torah putting the wine in the mouth of the tino. What does not get discussed as much here, but is discussed at greater length in the tour, is the Kriya Shem, the Bakash Hashrach. Okay, okay, I'm saying Kami says Zel of Imo to make that to daven that tefillah after the third bracha, and that includes the naming. The tour actually has a three-way machlokas when you're supposed to drink. If you're going to say this Kayin Tzial Zel of Imo, so when you're supposed to drink. The Torah says maybe you should drink, if you made a bar piyah gef, and you make asher kiddush, and then you're not saying the, you're not drinking afterwards. You're stopping to say a longer tchina. So first he says, maybe the added tchina is not a hefsek. Maybe added tchina is not a hefsek. And then he says, others assume that the fact that you put some of the wine in the mouth of the baby, that's sufficient. And the third approach the Torah quotes is, you should drink. That's a number of our Rebbeim do. They got the Mechava two different Rabbanim, one to say the Asher Kiddush, the other one to for the Kriya Shem. So one will say Asher Kiddush and then drink, and then they'll refill the kos to remove the pagam, and for should be a kos mali for the trina, and then you say the trina over the kos as well. In terms of the Kriya Shem, there's a tremendous amount written, and the Sefer HaBris Purutinsky collects an incredible amount. Particularly from Shulchan Zachronim in terms of different issues of naming. I would highlight, in general, the practice is not to name for people who had a... not to precisely name for people who had a particularly tragic life. If someone died prematurely young, usually they want a name for him. Usually add Chaim, add Alter, add Chaya, something like that, for a man, for a woman. And so it's not exactly the same. Interesting, he quotes Puritinsky has a lot of minhagim, a lot of tshuvas about this. I would highlight one marmakim in particular is I think the most ancient marmakim he quotes in the issues of Kriya Shem is a Breishis Rabbah. Breishis Rabbah goes back to the Tanaim, the early Amoraim. It's a machlokes hatanaim, Reb Yosef Shem Galil, well-known Tanaim, had a machlokas over naming. They both point out, they agree to the facts, they disagree on the interpretation. They both agree to the fact that in earlier generations they would name based on Meisim, Ki Biyam of Niflugah Haaretz. Nowadays we name based on ancestors. The machlokas of Shem Galil and Yossi is why, or more precisely, which is ideal, which is the default, and which is the last resort. So one says, "Daros Harishonim, the head of Ruach HaKodesh, able to name for Meisim. We don't have Ruach HaKodesh, so we can't name based on what's going to happen in the child's future. So instead, we name for Avoseim." And the other one says, "No, they couldn't name for Avoseim. All the great great grandparents were still alive. People lived for hundreds, centuries and centuries. So how do you name for Avoseim? So they didn't have that option. They had to name for Meisim." But we have the opportunity to name for Avosei, we name for Avosei. What's interesting is it seems like one or both Tanaim assume that you're not going to name for living relatives. That seems to be a very strong support for Ashkenazi practice of avoiding naming for living relatives. There are, I think, some Sephardi poskim who try to respond to that kasha. But certainly the simple reading of that, unless you say that's Machlokes HaTanaim, doesn't sound like they're arguing about that point. The simple reading of that Breishis Rabbah is like the Ashkenazi approach. They talk about the machlokas mechaber Rama is the machlokas Rambam and other Rishonim. Whether the nusach habrach, how you read the Gemara Pesachim Daf Zayin or Beis, I'm sure you're also in Shir, how to work at the sugi of Al versus Le, and should things change, should the bracha change? If it's a father who's being mal, if you're interested in being eyeing further into that sugya, I'll point you to the Nachal Eisan, which is Reb Chaim Kanievsky's sefer on Egla Arufa LaHalacha. He wrote an entire halacha sefer together with his own. He wrote sort of his own Shulchan Aruch and his own Mishnah Berurah on Egla Arufa. There's incredibly little written about Egla Arufa, so he had to So much so that he writes in the Hagdamah to his friend, but also often explains why Al Pidin you have to have such a sefer. So he explains, he quotes sefer Chassid. It's hard to know if he was being funny or not. It could be this is a rare example of Chaim Kanievsky's humor. It's very, if it is, it's incredibly subtle and dry, which would not be surprising, because it takes a great mind to have dry humor. He writes there, why is it so important to have a sefer in every place? Because the sefer Chassidim writes, it's just like the idea of meis mitzvah, meis she'en lo kovrim, there's an extra mitzvah to be involved with the kvura. Sefer Chassidim writes, if you have an area of halacha, an area of Torah that people are that's abandoned, that people aren't paying attention to, so it's like a meis mitzvah. So he says, so Egla Rufa, no one writes about Egla Rufa, so it's a meis mitzvah. Now, Egla Rufa is about meis mitzvah, so it's hard to know whether that was an intentional humor or not. Either way, Chaim Kanievsky is uniquely suited for this, because what he does is for every Shaila, he'll quote from everywhere else in other areas of halacha to figure out what the din should be here. So for instance, he has to figure out, do you make brachas on Egla Rufa and how many? Do you make a bracha on the Tiel Zedayin? Do you make a bracha on the Arifa? Do you make a bracha on the Medida? And the fourth item also, the Kriyas Sapsukim, you make a bracha. And then, should it be Al or Le? So he says, well, we need to figure out the sugya in general, and then we'll figure that we could apply it here. He proceeds to present over many, many pages in Achal Eitzan, 10 shitos in Rishonim in what the maskana is, Psachim Dav Zayin Beis, Al versus Le. So if you're interested in any further than that sugya, it's hard to think of a more exhaustive resource than the Nachal Eisan. Interesting in terms of getting into the sugyas of Mila at the end of Corona. It's Sivav. Sivav the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Rav Tzemach Gaon that this is the nusach of Rav Tzemach Gaon. If it's possible to have a minion, you should have a minion. Hechad lo efshar. If it's not possible to have a minion, then you'll have a bris milah without a minion. It sounds has a very relevant feel. Baruch Hashem, it was more relevant a year ago than it is now. Yechazdei Hashem. Another psachim tayin is Siv Zayin, is about the question of Shehechiyanu. Very last gemara psachim. But Shehechiyanu opinion aben, the big machlokas we shown him that the Mechaber Amah quote here. Whether it's, you should be saying Shehechiyanu and Amila as well or not. The Sfaradim assume that you should, the Ashkenazim assume that you should not, and then a further discussion is to only make the Shehechiyanu if it's a father himself is the Mohol, even if someone else is the Mohol. The Rambam's approach is, it doesn't matter who the Mohol is, you say a Shehechiyanu. And the Gra here quotes the Tshuvas Rashba. He says, no, of course you say Shehechiyanu. What's the issue? Is the issue that it's lo asim mizman? That's one issue. Maybe you say there's no shachiyano because it doesn't have a fixed time. Shofar is a fixed time. Megillah is a fixed time. But here there's no fixed time. So the Rishonim Rishonim respond, well, how about Pirin HaBen? Whereas the Feirush Pirin HaBen is shachiyano. It also doesn't have a fixed time. So the Ran does say, well, there's 30 days. And then 8 days for the bris milah. It's a difficult response. And then they say it's hard to say that you're not saying shechiyanu because the baby is still a suffolk nefel. It is true in theory. We don't know for sure that the baby is viable until the baby survived the first 30 days. But that's not a suffolk hashakel. The vast majority of babies born, not only nowadays with the great Baruch Hashem, with the great advances in medicine that Kadosh Baruch Hu has gifted us, the great prenatal care, even centuries ago. It wasn't a Safek Hashal, it wasn't a Mechza, Mechza. And the Rishonim point out, we do perform Mila B'Shabbos, that's the next simon. If it's a Mila B'Zmana, why is a Safek Nefil? Mila's Nefil is not Doch HaShabbos, so obviously we don't consider it an open Safek. There's an outside chance the baby's a Nefil, so that can't be why we're not saying Shechiyah. And the third suggestion is, well, maybe it's because of Tzara D'Yanuka. How are you going to... And that is the major driver of the Ashkenazi approach to avoid saying to leave out the Shechiyon de Bris Milah is because of Tzara D'Yanuka. So that's a big machlokes Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, because the Gemara does say it's a sort of an emotional miasma person loses a relative to whom he's an heir, and he comes into a fortune. A very wealthy relative passes away, and now this fellow, just the surviving relative, lost a relative, perhaps lost a father, and became overnight a multimillionaire. The Gemara says you're going to say both brachas. You can say Dainemus, and you can say Shafiano. Not necessarily at the same moment, but both brachas are called for. Say Dainemus, Nebuch, he lost Rahman's son, lost a relative, and the fellow became incredibly wealthy. He says Shafiano. So that's what the Sfardi Rishonim say. The Tzar Dianuka, and there's also Shachiyanu. You could say Shachiyanu in situations with far greater pain than the pain of the momentary pain of the baby. Yeah, there's a difference though, because in the case of the fellow who loses a relative and thereby inherits a fortune, two separate events occurred. The Shachiyanu is not about the loss of the relative. The Shachiyanu is about the consequent gain of money. But here, the Shachiyanu is about the Mila, and the Mila is painful. So that's probably the Svara L'chalik. And Lama says that is the Machlos Ashkenazim Svara. If you had a Svara Dibrisi, they do say they typically will have the Brach of Hadas, and they will make a Shachiyanu. Ashkenazim do not make a Shachiyanu. Sif Tes is based on Sefer Ha'itur. A Sefer Ha'itur from the 1100s, in the early Rishonim quoted by the Tur, that the father should be standing alongside the Mohel. Lahodia Shehu Shlucho. To indicate to communicate that the Mohel is the Shliach of the father. Many Mohelim will ask the father to verbally appoint b'man them as a shliach in advance of the bris milah. That is a question, what exactly does it mean by shlichus? So there may be some Rishonim who really saw the shul shalom kemoso, and that the mohel is really the shliach. This came up earlier in the Limud also. The Gura has an interesting approach. Kedarko, very subtle. In Sifkat Mem, here in Siftes, is, well, shamiluhu dugmas karban. The father stands alongside the Molo Diashlu Shlucho, because after all, the Mila Shamilu Dugmas Karban, the Mila is parallel to Karban. Something that Katzner mentioned about Pesach, that the need for some sort of bleeding, the fact that we don't use a clamp, Mitzitza is typically not necessary to have some bleeding, Tavagam is at least eliciting some blood, and doing a normal Mila without using a clamp will allow for bleeding. That may also be, the Zohar talks about that, the Dugmas Karbam. Here he quotes from Nigla Midrashim, Medrash Rabban Amar, Vav Shin Mem, I believe is Vishar Midrashim. And then he quotes the Gemara in Tainus. So, if Mil is Dugmas Karbam, what does that have to do with the father standing alongside the Mol to Adiyah Shul Shulchan? He says, the Gemara, at the end of Masech HaTainus, the Gemara discusses the idea of Ma'amados. Just as there are mishmaros, just as the Kohanim and Levim are each divided into shifts, 24 groups of Kohanim, and each one takes a week, and they rotate over the course of a 24-week cycle. So the Tanam Namaram teach us, the end of Masechet Tainus, there was also a rotation of Yisraelim. Not every Yisrael was a part of this, but there were groups of Yisraelim who volunteered to be member of a mamad. A mamad is the Yisrael equivalent of a mishmar, of Kohanim. If you were a member of a mamad, that means you were volunteering that when it was your week, you would leave home and leave work and go spend a week in Beis HaMikdash. And they would fast and they would daven in special kriyas Torah. And what's it all about? So that's what the Gura quotes. Peach karbano shal adam karev v'huinu omen al-gagav. The reason for Ma'amad is that how could it be that a Jew's carbon is being carbon based on Mikdash and he's not there? Even by a carbon yachid, you can be Yotzei. Most carbonists, you can be Sholeach Adam Karbano. If I'm unable to, I have to bring a carbon chatas, I have to bring some other carbon as Menadev and Ola. So for most carbonos, I can be Yotzei by sending it ahead. I can either send an animal or send an envelope with money, and they'll bring it on my behalf. but that's suboptimal. Ideally, I should be present when my carbon is kare. So the Gemara says in Tanis, it's not only true for carbon yachid, it's even true for carbon as tibur. How can it be? Kalal Yisrael, the Kohanim every day are bringing the Tamidim, they're bringing Musafin on the days where there's a Musaf, and so on and so forth. And Kalal Yisrael isn't there, so you're not going to have every single Jew there, but again, it's a carbon of the Kal. So the Tzibur sends representation, sort of like a Shliach Tzibur. So like the Rav's approach to the Shliach Tzibur, the Tfilas HaTzibur, the Charas HaShat Tfilas HaTzibur, you have people who represent Kalal Yisrael, who are present, not Kohanim, not Levim, but they're present. They are the Omed al Gabav. So the Gros suggests that that's what this Siftas, B'Shem the Itur, is driving at. I think what the Gros is angling for is that we don't mean Shlucha Sha'arim Kamosa. We don't mean literal Shlichos. We mean the more broad sense that he's acting on my behalf. I think that's what the Gros is going for. You don't have to say, you don't have to mamash say Shulchan Aruch Kamoso in the full sense in order to have that via ben omen al gabav. Because if the relationship between the father and the mohel is like the relationship between the Baal HaKarbon and the Kohen. So you see from the end of time, it's appropriate. The Baal HaKarbon should be present. Even though Baal HaKarbon, the Gemara discussed the Shlichus there also, but that's not Shlichus in the classical sense of Shulchan Aruch Kamoso. Raila Davar is this classical shlichus called the rule that Gemara has that Kal Milso de Ilo Matzi Avdu Shlichu Matzi Mashvi. Classical shlichus, classical agency in halacha is where I have the capacity to perform a certain halos and I authorize you, I deputize you to act on my behalf. I have the capacity to sell my property, I deputize you to sell my property. I have the capacity to, I have the halacha capacity to marry a woman and make her my wife. So, not very romantic, but it is valid to make a shliach l'kiddushin. And the opening mission of the second parak kiddushin, I could make a shliach, and Reuven will make Shimon a shliach. Shimon doesn't himself have the capacity to marry someone to Reuven, but if Reuven gives him that koach, then now he can act on behalf of Reuven. Usually, by shluch shalom kamoso, I'm sharing power, I'm sharing capacity that I myself have. That's why milsa ilo matzi avid, Shliach Matzi Mashri. I can only make you a shliach to do something that I myself am able to do. I can give you the capacity to sell my property, but I can't give you the capacity to sell his property. I can't sell his property. How can I give you that capacity? The carbon is different. The Kohen can do things that the Yisrael cannot do. The Gemara talks about shlichus, but it's a different type of shlichus. Not shlichus sham kamoso. It means that he's acting on my behalf. So that appears to be what the Gemara is saying here. It doesn't have to be mamash shlichus sham kamoso, but instead the relationship between the moel and the father might be more broadly like the relationship between the Kohen and the Baal HaKarbon. I think that's the subtext of this Gemara in Sif Cotton Mem. Yeah, good question.
I could be wrong, but I think if the Gros Dafka says in Sif Cotton either Lamed Dalet or Lamed Hey that the relationship is between the Mohel and the...
Yes, very good. Correct. He does say that. Very good. Very good. He does say at the beginning of Lamed Hey, absolutely. Specifically within the Shita of the Rambam. He's explaining there... That again, that's what we were talking about. The simon we were talking just before, the sif, we were talking just before, Sif Zayin, the question of the Shechianu. I mentioned that there's within the Svardic approach that you do say Shechianu Mila, there's a further discussion that the Mechaber has, whether it's only when the father himself is performing the Mila, or even if you have a Yahya or a Mohel. So that's what he quotes. Yeshom the Yonse Shechianu, if there's some other Mohel. But the Rambam says, Li'olam Avim Baruch Shechianu, call me Lo Mila. And that, he says, is a common Svaritic practice. Chaynal v'chol Malchus Eretz Yisrael, v'Suria u'sviv o'seha u'malchus Mitzrayim. Now throughout the Middle East, the practice like the Rambam that what? The father makes the Shechianu, even if he himself is not doing the Maisa Mila. And that's where the Gros says, what the the basis for that shita of the Rambam is that we're really saying Shluch Hashem Kamoza. Correct.
But otherwise, you wouldn't say Shluch Hashem
Kamoza? I don't think so. I think that's the issue. I think that's part of the issue. Is whether. Because normally I can only say Ashay Shech Yana Mitzvah that I'm doing. So the Rambam says Shluch Hashem Kamoza. It came up earlier also. There are Rishonim, that's what I'm saying. There are Rishonim who understand Mamish. A real din of shlichus, but I think what the Gemara is doing is saying the itter doesn't necessarily have to hold that way. I believe that's what he's driving at. Yeah, so if you they talk about what you put the where the arla goes, the Torah speaks about it at greater length. This goes back the where you put the mila or where you put the or where the dam mila should fall is the arla of the dam mila. This goes back minhagim that go back over 1,000 years. These are some of the Gaonim lists of differences in Minhagim between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, between Mizrach and Maariv. And so one of the issues was, what should you have, when you do a Mila, what should you have underneath? I don't know, we have a carpet. But a split, whether you should be Mal over Mayim, Mal over Afar, based on different Sukkim Yecheskel, Ve'echat Seif Ba'Mayim, and the Afar goes back to multiple Midrashim that understand that In the brachas of Bilam, Imanu Afar Yaakov, that's a reference to all the Damila. Bilam was overwhelmed by the schus of all the Damila, all the milas that Klal Yisrael were doing. So, and apparently, it's ending up in the Afar. So that becomes the source for the way ultimately the Minik Bavel, Minik Bnei Marv. Ultimately, that's the accepted Minik. Mechaber Amot to put the Orla into Afar, into Chol, and perhaps the blood, some of the blood goes into the Afar. Until on Shabbos, after prayer in advance. Yet, and then at the end, the Ramah talks a lot in Sif Yeralef about Sandakos. Mechaber talks about Kisa Shal Yo. Ramah talks at length about Sandakos. It's a long, you saw a long Darkei Moshe. The Chachmi Ashkenaz had a lot to say. Ashkenaz Rishon had a lot to say about Sandakos. And they often call him the Baal Bris. The Baal Bris is important. You read that Darkei Moshe to realize that for many of them, the Sandik's job started earlier. He wasn't just sitting b'shas mila. The Kavater and the Sandik were the same person. It's definitely clear that was the Maril's approach. That's what Dr. Marshall describes. Maril, go get the baby, bring the baby, and sit down. That's why there's a discussion. You have to know that to understand why the discussion, whether you have a woman who's a Baal Bris together with a man or just a man. So what does that mean? Doesn't mean you have a man and woman sitting side by side to be sandikim. What that means is do you have a woman brings the baby up until the Ezra Sanashin and a man takes the baby and brings him down? Or, I think Maril would go into Ezra Sanashin, get the baby from the mother, and bring him all the way. And so the Ramah says, as Rabbi Katz has seen highlighted, that we avoid having a female sandik. We see that as pritzus. It is appropriate, as Ramah quotes, if the husbands be a sandik, namely kefater and sandik, kefater, so the husband and wife could be a team. We'll talk about the sudas. The Sudas Bris, the Pesachei Tshuva mentions if you're not able to, you can do a Suda Dechuya. You're not able to do a Suda on the Yom HaMila. You can make the Suda if need be on a different day. This almost came up for us. Our oldest son was born on, his Bris was the day after 9/11, in 2001. Now we were managed to pull off a Suda in Washington Heights, but that was far from simple. And this could have been a relevant Pesachei Tshuva. If you can't make a Suda for every reason, Bo Bayom, the Mila has to be B'Shemini, the Suda you want to be B'Shemini, but if not, then you can make Tashlum in a different day. Talk about the Shalom Zachar, that's based on the Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Pei. The Gemara talks about a Suda of either the Shavua HaBen or Yeshua HaBen. Shavua HaBen appears to be a reference to Suda's Bris Mila. Yeshua HaBen, Rashi Tos discusses, is that a reference to Pidyon HaBen? Is that a reference to something else? Perhaps the Torah suggestion says the Shalom Zachar, different approaches in the Nosa Kelim. what's the Shem Zachar about. The Taz has different Persia. Rav was not so excited about the one Persia. Taz says that like be Menachem the child for the loss of his learning. Rav was not so excited about that one. Taz quotes various approaches. Maybe it's because the Shabbos, the Medrash says that the meal is Bishmini, that way the baby goes through at least one Shabbos, has at least one encounter with the Shabbos before Knesset LeBris. You have to meet the Matronisa, you have to meet the Shabbos queen before Knesset LeBris, so that's a celebration of the Heksh, it's like a Heksher to the Mila. The Shabbos is a necessary Heksher to the Mila, so that's perhaps why you have the Shem Zachar. The other reasons they give also, and then finally the Shach, there's a long Shach here about Tachanun. Mechaber talks about not saying Tachanun. Shach is a long discussion, some of the other notes that came in the Beis Lechem Yehuda have a discussion on multiple minyanim in one shul. The minyanim beforehand don't say Tachanun, minyanim after the bris minyan do say Tachanun. And then the very last Shach in the Siman, the very last sentence in the Shach in the Siman, is that ideally one should keep one's tefillin on until after a bris, until after the bris is over. Okay, maybe we'll highlight just a few points. As I mentioned before, Siman Reish Samach Vav, we had a chance to dig into earlier in the Limud, and maybe we'll highlight just a couple of Se'ifim. We had spoken about the basic din, of Mila Bezmanas Docha Shabbos, Mila Shlo Bezmanas not Docha Shabbos. So that's at the end of the parak. The beginning of the parak opens Kuf Lamed. This we had seen near the beginning of the Limud. Machlokes Reb Lezer and Reb Akiva are Machshirei Mila Bezmanas Docha Shabbos. Tanur Reb Lezer held that even Machshirei Mila Docha Shabbos. If you don't have a knife, you can make a knife on Shabbos in order to do a Mila on Shabbos. You can carry the knife on Shabbat through Rosh Hashanah and so on and so forth. And Rabbi Akiva disagreed. Rabbi Akiva said, that's Chil Shabbos Daraisa. Absolutely not. If you have no knife, then even though it means that you're not going to be able to do the Mila Bezmana. Okay? Rabbi Akiva says, you only have the right to do the Maisa Mila itself. You have the right once the Mila is done, at that point the baby is a Chola, the Tkuch Nefesh. So the aftercare is Docha Shabbos because Tkuch Nefesh is Docha Shabbos. But the things you need to do in advance, we pass like Rabbi Akiva, that machshire mila before the mila are not docha Shabbos, not docha Shabbos, not docha yontav. That's according to Vav. However, there is a solution. And the solution is in Sifhei, that's based on a Gemara in Erevin, a very important Gemara in Erevin. When Erevin talks about asking a nachri to help out in advance. The long tosis there, big discussion. We showed him exactly what are the parameters, and we paskin. It comes up here in Yerodei in Hilchos Mila. It comes up in Hilchos Shabbos in Arachem. We paskin that Amir al Akam is aser. That's our pashut. Amir al Akam. Let's start with that. Amir al Akam is the name of an iser, not the name of a heter. That's the first point. Sometimes people are under the misimpression that Amir al-Akam is all mutter. I can't do it, but I'll ask the nachri, that's fine. That's number one. Amir al-Akam is aser. That's multiple mishnayos, many, many gemaras. I'm not allowed, in midrabanan, min ha-Torah, I'm not allowed to do malacha. The Jew is not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. Midrabanan, a Jew is not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha on his behalf on Shabbos. However, being that Amir al-Akam is a lesser iser than actually doing the malacha oneself, when Chazal created the legislation, when Chazal invented the Issur Rabbanan, Amir al-Akam, they did build in a series of exceptions. One of those exceptions, Amir al-Akam, the Mutal Tzarech Chola, the Chol She'en Bo Sakana, there's no Pikuch, not Perish, the fellow sick, not COVID, nothing dangerous, he's sick. He's sick in bed, and he'll be okay in a couple of days. So a Jew, Chalila, is not allowed to do malach on his behalf. That's not pikuch nefesh. It's not safik pikuch nefesh. But Amir al-Akam is mutter. So if a fellow is sick, he's out of commission for a couple of days, so if he can ask and he'll be more comfortable, if he's able to have a hot drink, he's very congested. So a Jew is not allowed to heat water from on Shabbos, but we can ask a non-Jew to eat water from on Shabbos. Another, so, but that's not relevant here. The baby kodma mila is not a chola. Not without, with the sakana, without a sakana. What is relevant here, as the Gemara discussed that there also, after the meal, what do you do? Sakana, no sakana. But the Gemara there also discusses the situation of asking the nachri to help out before the mila. So that's not based on the het of amir la akum utzarach chola, that's amir la akum utzarach mitzvah. However, we paskin, that's a long tosis, the big discussion we've shown him, we paskin that unlike utzarach chola, where you're even allowed to ask a nachri to perform a deraisa, utzarach mitzvah, you're only allowed to ask a nachri to perform a drabana. That's what we call shvus to shvus. It'll be a double shvus is a term for an issa drabanan hilchos Shabbos. So if it's a double drabanan, because asking a nachri to do an issa deraisa, that's a drabanan. Asking a nachri to do an issa drabanan, what for me would be an issa drabanan, to ask him to do it, that's a double drabanan. So shvus to shvus is mutter b'makom mitzvah. So for instance, if the knife is the knife and the baby are in two different places, we can ask a nachri to carry the knife to the baby if there's an Erev, the Jew can carry it also. If there's no Erev, but it's a situation where the carrying is only necessary drabanan, it's a chatzer without an Erev chatzeris, or it's a karmelis, so you can ask a nachri to violate a drabanan in order to enable the bris mil. That's the rule of shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. That's here, Reish Samavav Sifhei, and again, it's not unique to Mila, even though Mila is Docha Shabbos, but again, the Machshirim are not. So the rule, we assume that the rules for Lutzorach Mitzvah in advance are the same for Mila and for any other Mitzvah. Shvus to Shvus is Mutter B'Makom Mitzvah, and a Chad Shvus, to ask a Nachri to do a Daraisa, is not. So for instance, let's say the lights are out in the Sukkah. You misset the timer. You come back home from Shul the first night, and it's totally dark. It's totally dark. And let's say Shabbos. First night of Shabbos, Sukkos. So to ask, if you ask a nachri to turn the lights in the Sukkah, otherwise it's pitch black. So Pashtos, without getting into all the details, if the lights are incandescent, it's aser. If the lights are LED, it's mutter. Because for a Jew to turn an incandescent, a filament bulb is Issa D'Oraisa. But we assume that for a Jew to turn on an LED light is only an issa drabanan. So a Jew is not allowed to do a tzarach mitzvah, but to ask a nachri to do a drabanan, that's a shvus to shvus, that's a double drabanan, it's mutter makom mitzvah. The issues of defining ben hashmash that we discussed already earlier, there is a machlokas sifches, important machlokas you should be aware of. It's machlokas Rambam Rush, it's machlokas mechaber shach. About Yom Tov Sheni Shal Galios. Can you do a Mila Shalo Bizmana? Mila Shalo Bizmana, Mila Bizmana is Docha Shabbos, but Mila Shalo Bizmana is not Docha Shabbos, not Docha Yom Tov. How do we know? The Vidarsha from the Psukim and the Mishnah says, that Mishnah at the end, the bottom of Kuflam Zayim and Aleph, that Mila could be Bishmini, Bishbichi, Bishiri, etc. And it was a Bein Hashmashas, so we push it to the next day, but the baby's born Friday night, Bein Hashmashas. You can't do the meal on Shabbos either because it's a Safik Shalom Bismana. Because maybe it's a Friday bris, maybe it's a Shabbos bris. That's the Mishnah that you push it to Sunday. And the Mishnah goes on to say, well, let's say Sunday's Yom Tov, gotta push it to Monday. And let's say Sunday, Monday are 2 days Rosh Hashanah, you gotta push it to Tuesday. And that's a situation where the meal only happens on day 12. Because it could be that Friday is already day 8, we're pushing all the way till Tuesday. So you see that Mila Shalom Bismana is not even Docha Yom Tov Sheni, 2 days Rosh Hashanah. The Machlokas Rosh and Rambam is, yeah, but how about if it's, is that true for all Yom Tov Sheni, or is it only true for Rosh Hashanah? The Mishnah said Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the relationship between the first and second days of Rosh Hashanah is more intense than the status of a different Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. So that's why the Mishnah only said Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, the Mishnah only said Rosh Hashanah because the Mishnah's been in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have any other Yom Tov Sheni. But even in Eretz Yisrael, even the Beis HaMikdash, Rosh Hashanah is a suffix because you may not know, because Kiryas HaKodesh happens on Rosh Hashanah, it's the first of the month. So that's why it's a Machlokas Rosh Rambam. The Rush said, ironically, the Shulchan Aruch passing like the Rush, and the Shah passing like the Rambam. Very unusual. Shulchan Aruch said not docha even Yom Tov Sheni Shavuos. And the Shaf says no. Rosh not docha Rosh Hashanah, but any other Yom Tov Sheni should be docha. Pesachet Shuvos. There's Behuda wants to know how about if it's a suffix. If it's a suffix, it's a suffix bezmana. In case of the Mishnah, it's a vade shlo bezmana, because the baby was born on a Friday evening. By the time you come into the second day of Rosh Hashanah on Monday, it's definitely shlo bezmana. Now, however, the baby was born a week before Yontif. So it's a bein shmashus, a suffix whether the baby should have a milah on the first day of Yontif or the second day of Yontif. So then, number one of the machlokas, even if it's shlo bezmana, machlokas Rosh Rambam. Maybe Mila Shlo Bezman is Doch Yom Tov Sheni. Plus, if it was Noah Ben Ashmashus, it maybe is Bezman. So that, then we start talking about long piece of Chetshuva, Kutz HaChasam Sofer. I believe that the standard approach is to assume that it is not Doch HaShad. Even if it's a Safik Bezmana, and even if it's only Yom Tov Sheni Shlo Galias, not, we wait till the next day. I think that's the standard. So, and Sif Yud is a list of other cases where the Mila is not Docha Shabbos, aside from Shelo Bezmana. And the most common one there is Yotze Dofen. Yotze, that's important. You have a C-section. A baby is born Shabbos, and Mila is going to be next week on Shabbos if it is a natural birth. But if it was a C-section, the baby was removed surgically, so then we assume that you do have to wait till Shmini. We're machmet to wait till Shmini, but on the other hand, if Shmini is Shabbos, we would wait until the next day. We wait until the following Sunday. All these are explain why there should be slightly more brisin on Sunday than other days. Because anytime, yeah, there's a reason why it's not Docha Shabbos, it gets pushed to Sunday. Finally, we close with this. Close Mila. Earlier we spoke about it in Simas Reish Samachay. The Gra had mentioned that the Midrashim talk about the Mila Dugmas Karban. The truth is very fascinating. Ramah closes Hilchos Mila with very beautiful close. The Hilchos Mila closes Reish Samachav Sif Yud Dalad with a machlokas whether you're allowed to have a team on a Shabbos bris. Catherine had mentioned if you do a Mila Priya B'Vasachas, obviously you have one person doing both. He had mentioned that there were communities when they did Mila Priya that there would be Mechaba two different moments. That came up earlier in the Limud, the discussion about can you back out, can you not back out, you already asked the Mohel, and about splitting. So that was apparently in some communities it was not uncommon to Mechaba two different Mohelim, always looking for more Kibudim. Right? So, it's like over the last number of years, people have manufactured a few extra kibudim of the mealaki, meyakise, and so on and so forth. So the one way to have more kibudim is to mechaba two mohalim. One will do the mila, one will do the priya. And again, in some communities that was common. The machlokes, the mechaba rama, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. The mechaba says you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. And Rama says, why not? Mechaber does not do that on Shabbos. Why? Because mol v'lo parak ilu mol. If you do a mila without a priya on Shabbos, it's a chil Shabbos. Because mol v'lo parak ilu mol, it's not a valid mila. So that's not done for Shabbos. Now here the priya will be done, but not by me. Mol number one is going to do the mila only. Then mol number two is going to do the priya. So the mechaber goes Rishon and said, it's not right. Mila alone is not Docha Shabbos. The Mila and Priya together are Docha Shabbos. Now the Ramah has a very fascinating counterproof. And it's interesting, it's rare to see Shaka Vatari in the Ramah. This closing Ramah, and it's a very unusual, stylistically unusual Ramah. His Adrav Nir Dishari brings a riot to his Shita. Mila Dachya Shabbos, Kama Avodu V'Mikdash. He says, the Mishnayos tell us they divide the avota in the Beis Hamishnah on a pious for this and a pious for that. A single carbon was done by sometimes upwards of 20 kohanim. So they didn't try to have, even though when you're doing chol shabbos, some of those acts are chol shabbos. So, for instance, it's clear in the Mishnayos in Yuma, you would have one kohen with shechtin and a different kohen was doing the haktara, another kohen doing the rikas adam. just shecht and not finish the kite. Just shecht alone without the other avodos. You shecht yondu zrika, garnished. That's not the, that alone would be chel shabbos. The cover is not kashlan, it's all the dollar avodos. And yet we allow one person to shecht the carbon, and others to do other things. So the Rambam says, well, why is there any difference? Why are you doing the meal but not the priya any different than being shechting the carbon without doing the other the rest of the dalal avodos? It's an interesting riot. Now the Rama says by the befeir shirai it's mishnayos, but then he starts quoting, fascinating, quote old svarim that he found. An old copy of the Rabbeinu Baruch Sefer HaTruma said it's mutter. But he found another Sefer, a Kovetz, that said it's aser. So, l'chatchila, he says, ideally you should avoid it. I realize Nicker didn't think it's mutter. This is a Rishon who were machmer. You should be machmer. Hey, fascinating. And the Gra explains what the issue is. It's incredibly sharp raya that the Rama is bringing. And the Gra says, yeah, but the... there's a difference. There's a chiluk between Mila b'Shabbos and Avoda b'Shabbos. And that is, he says, that the Avoda b'Shabbos is Hutra, not merely Dechuya. That's the last Gra, Sivkat and Chafei. He says, Avoda b'Shabbos is Hutra. It's not, this is something that we had discussed earlier also. When two halachas are in conflict, so sometimes one wins, the other one loses. Sometimes the way one wins, the other one loses is hutra, and sometimes merely dechuya. There are a number of nafkinim between that. The classic, the most classic nafkinim, Gemara Gini Vamas, is if it's efshar ayde echerim. Excuse me, if it's efshar l'kayim shneim. The Gemara says, asay dochalosa, say kli dechuya. In other words, The losa say is still in force, just the assay overrides it. There's a conflict and one has to win. The assay takes precedence. The losa say is being overridden. And that's what the Reish Lakish says, if it's efshar l'kayim shneim, you have to l'kayim shneim. Assay the losa is the only one there's no way out. But it's still alive, it's just being supplanted. Masha'enikin when it's hutra. So the Gras says, that's a difference here also. Avodah b'Shabbos is hutra. It's not that it's really chilul Shabbos, but the carbon is so important it overrides. No, then maybe we would say one coin should do everything. No, it's hutra. This is not called chilul Shabbos. So that's why we spread it around. But he says, Mila b'Shabbos is dechuya. Mila b'Shabbos is dechuya, and that's why we seek to minimize. It's a different sort of a different dimension of Efshar L'Kayim Shneim. If we can be Mimayate, we have to do Chil Shabbos. If we can have just one person do all of it instead of spread among two people, that would be ideal. Especially since the piece that the first person is doing in of itself is not sufficient to warrant Chil Shabbos. Shechter's Nusach, I think, is that the what the Gra is really setting up is that what would the Rama say? To the chiluk, and Rama would say maybe that Mila b'Shabbos is also hutra. In other words, it could be that the closing machlokas, mechab Rama here, is a machlokas where the Mila b'Shabbos is hutra d'chuya. Everyone agrees that Mila b'Zmana is supposed to be performed on Shabbos, but it could be that the gra suggests that the mechaber held Mila b'Shabbos is only d'chuya. So that's why if we could have one person do everything, it's not right to have to divide among two. And the Ramah, implication being, I have to suggest it, Ramah holds that Mila B'Shabbos is Hutra, Kemo Avoda, and that's why we have no qualms about sharing the Maisa Mitzvah among two different Molim, even on Shabbos.